the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Buckeye fans? Welcome back to an episode of Locked On Buckeyes for the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. It is Wednesday, April 14th in the year 2021, and today is a day that was requested by John Lynch. Ohio State Pro Day 2.0, where Fields and Sean Wade will be working out in front of coaches, executives, so they can showcase their skills. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at JStevens07. You can also follow the podcast on Twitter as well at Locked On Buckeye. Lineup for today in segment two, we're going to talk about why this might be the ideal time, or it might be past time, for Ohio State to change their base defense. Segment three, a little segment I'm going to devote to people in the media that just say outrageous stuff. Trust me, you'll want to stick around for that. But we begin today's show talking about Ohio State Pro Day 2.0, Pro Day 2, Field Day for a couple Buckeyes. I don't know, whatever you want to call today, it is Ohio State's second Pro Day by a request from John Lynch. And guys, man, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch the Pro Day today. Justin Fields, the first Pro Day a couple weeks ago, he killed it. I mean, absolutely killed it. What do you want to ask him to do? Was he 100% on all throws? I mean, no, he could improve. No, he wasn't. I mean, the deep throw that everybody's oohing and eyeing over, the receiver had to slow down on that pass. Notice, I haven't heard anybody talk about that, which it was an amazing throw. It was a completion. It was a touchdown, but the receiver did have to slow down a tad to catch the ball. Granted, the receiver did that, caught the ball, walked into pay dirt. But here we have John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan. I believe the Patriots will be there and the Falcons will be there to watch Justin Fields. He is the focus. He is the main, he is the person that's the talk of the town, continues to be. Like I said, we'll talk more about that in the last segment of today's show. And Justin Fields, can he raise his draft stock? Not really. What is this? What is today's workout really going to be for? Really just to see, just for John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, and other executives, well, the 49ers specifically, for them to see Justin Fields throw the football while they're on the field with them. That's about it. I mean, he had a year and a half worth, if you look at how many games he started, basically a year and a half worth of starts under his belt at Ohio State. Yeah, I mean, that's more than enough film, more than enough game tape to see Justin Fields, the quarterback, how he responds when he's under pressure, how he controls the tempo, how he controls the game, how he fights back when there's adversity right in front of him. I mean, they had, 14 games season one, 8 games season two. I mean, what more do you want to ask for? So, no, I do not believe, personally, my personal opinion, today is not for draft stock rising, draft stock lowering. That's not it at all. And I doubt he's going to move up or down a quarterback board or a big board of any of these teams that are watching. Why? It's April 14th and the draft's on the 29th. That's why. You do all your homework. You watch all the game film. A combine or a workout shouldn't really raise your draft stock. Now it could lower it. I mean, think about a few years ago, Michael Sams, he was already a tweener, thought he was too slow, thought he wasn't big enough for the defensive end position in the NFL, too slow for a linebacker, not big enough for D end. And then what happened? His measurables when he tested at the combine was bad. Now, there were some other things that I think caused him to fall to the 7th round in the NFL draft that year. I think it was 2014, but he was already one of those guys that was falling a little bit, not because of what he did on the field, but because projecting to the next level just didn't seem like the right fit. But Fields, he has the arm strength. He has the speed. He has the sturdy, strong body that he has. I mean, he has a lot of the tools. The mentals people are knocking, those aren't what they're attacking. Sometimes makes sense. Sometimes does not. Not to be overlooked, or not to be kind of laughed at or scoffed at right now, is Sean Wade, who has been recovering from a turf toe injury, and he will be in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center today. I believe it's in the Woody today at the pro day as well. Talk about a man that had his draft stock fall by simply coming back to play football. I mean, it's outrageous. It's insane. The draft stock and the way that he has fallen from the 2019 season to the 2020 season. But for Sean Wade right now, as he is a day two, early day three pick, or late third round, fourth round, fifth round type pick, the way that he has fallen between the 2019 season to the 2020 season, teams that are there, they're going to be looking to see how healthy is he. How does his body recover? Now, granted, like I mentioned yesterday, this is April. Season doesn't start until September. You got preseason games in August. So it's a lot of time between now and then, but you got rookie camp. You got training camp. I mean, you got all these camps. You got OT, all these things in the offseason that pros do. And teams want to see, how does Sean Wade test? How does he move? How does he move back and forth? How does his body recover from said injury? This is key for Sean Wade, just like it's key for Justin Fields. I don't believe this is a draft stock rising, draft stock lowering for either individual. I don't believe that at all. Another thing, a key thing to note for Justin Fields as we close this thing up, this will be ran by NFL coaches, not by his throwing coach. So NFL coaches, they're going to throw out at Fields some things that they would want Fields to do on the field in the future, to see how quick he picks up concepts, picks up things that they throw at him at a quick pace, things like that. I'm going to be excited to watch it. Looking forward to it. Justin Fields, Sean Wade, let's call it Ohio State Pro Day 2.0, whatever you want to call it, but it will be a field day for these two individuals. Let's step away very quickly. When we come back, we're sticking with the football. And is it time? Is it past time for Ohio State to have changed their base defense? We'll explain why. This is a conversation of the day when we come back. But first, check this out. There's a good chance you're someone like me that loves a good protein bar. You know, you have your diet, you have everything the way you want things to hit. You want to make sure that anything you eat fits your macros and it tastes good as well. Well, guys, I have ended my search, and I think there's a good chance you might end yours as well, because Built Bar is great for the health-conscious guy to help you lose and maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, and they're great for the keto diet. And one thing that is unique about Built Bars is that they are covered in 100% chocolate. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, and you will get 15% off your next order. Once again, go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. If this is your first time listening or watching Locked On Buckeyes, I want to say welcome. Or if it's your first time in a long time watching or listening to the podcast, I want to say welcome back. Locked On Buckeyes is a daily podcast or video show on YouTube covering your Ohio State football and basketball teams. And occasionally, just once since I've been here, do we talk a little Buckeye baseball as well. Make sure you subscribe to Locked On Buckeyes on the Odyssey app or whatever podcast listening app you utilize, or Locked On Buckeyes on YouTube. Check us out on WKYC.com. or even WKYC on their YouTube page as well, so you don't miss a beat. The year is 2021. Football, as we know it, has changed drastically. The offensive sets have changed quite a bit from the time many of us were youngsters. I am in my early 30s, so when I started playing football, it was in seventh grade. You're running 21 personnel. Got to get the exact phrase. Two running backs, one tight end, two receivers. That's what we ran in middle school and in high school. The one time I know we deviated or went away from that was my freshman year. Freshman year, at least, is the first time I can vividly remember it. Why? We was getting blown out. We had to score the ball fast. So what did the coach say? We're going shotgun. We're going four wide. We're going to try and sling this rock. I may have told the story before. We lost 41-6. 41-6 my freshman year. So, yes, the coach said, hey, Jay, you're playing center. Shotgun snaps only. Hey, Drew Horman, get behind Jay a few yards back. Catch that ball. Hey, Bobby Blackford. A. Ryan Murray, A. Sean Malloy, and we need y'all on the outside to go out there and catch these balls because we got to try and catch up and overcome this deficit very, very quickly. We did not do that. But football back then, 21 personnel, even in all through high school, that was primarily the formation that we ran. Two running backs, one tight end, two receivers on the right and left side of the line. Sometimes you would go two wide on two receivers on one side and a tight end on the opposite or things like that. Trips was a formation, but primarily 21 personnel. Two running backs, one tight end. What do we see now? Sometimes you see three wide receivers and a base offensive set. If you're Iowa or if you are, there's another school on here as well, Wisconsin, you'll go the old school route, two wide receivers, one tight end, two backs. Wisconsin, sometimes you'll see a heavy set with three tight ends and two backs, 23 personnel. So you're going to get a lot of, and I'm going to start saying personnel, things like that. The number in the front, the two in this case, in 23 personnel. The two is the number of running backs. The three is the number of tight ends. If there's anything left over that does not add up to five, that is the number of wide receivers that are on the field. And I mentioned that because I went back talking about changing your base defense. Ohio State runs a 4-3, has run a 4-3 defense for as long as I can remember. And the offensive sets and schemes have gone way past your base defense needing to be a 4-3. Rich Rodriguez, 2009. Pat White was the quarterback. I think Steve Slayton was on that team as well. I think it was 2009. They almost went to the BCS National Championship running a 3-3-5 defense, base defensive set. Going to go into more schematics tomorrow, but a 3-3-5 base defense, three down linemen, three linebackers, five DBs. And that was kind of ahead of its time. A little bit different, a little unorthodox. And it was amazing to see what that did, what that team did while they were on the field. My year may have been wrong, but I remember 3-3-5 because on NCAA football that year, I remember playing with West Virginia. I remember the difference of the they had the glass for the weight room on the field so you could look out from there and see the field, see the game and everything. That was an amazing setup. I'm a youngster. This is a perfect. And then a different defensive set. Sign Jay up because Jay likes a little bit of different things when he's playing the video games that he plays. But here we go now, 2021. A 3-3-5 back then would be perfect for right now. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. But Ohio State 4-3, we look at the defensive sets right now and what a 4-3 does, four down linemen, three linebackers, four DBs, ideal for the old school. Say you want to have a 21 personnel, two backs, one tight end, two receivers. You have your corners on the receivers on the outside. You have your strong side linebacker on the side of the tight end, on the line, two backs behind. Everybody has a gap. Everybody has a gap responsibility. You see the down linemen, they're in a gap. That's their gap responsibility. The linebackers have the other gaps that are left over. Very easy to coach, very elementary. When I was playing high school football, we ran a 4-4 once I got to the sophomore level. But it was a 4-3 defense that we ran freshman year. And it's easy. Gap defense, gap assignments. I mean, even if there's a twist or a stunt, you know where everything is going because it's a gap assignment. Right now, for the big, these are Big Ten schools, I went through and looked at some other schools that Ohio State can't possibly play down the road. One is a non-conference game against Oregon that I got some numbers from them as well. But a lot of teams right now don't run 21 personnel, 22 personnel. They're running three wide, two wide receivers on the outside and a slot receiver, spread it out, use all the space on the field. And a 4-3 base defense is not ideal for this. You have in the Big Ten, Iowa, who runs a base 21 personnel, running back, fullback, tight end, two receivers, and then Wisconsin. Wisconsin, sometimes, like I mentioned, they'll run a 23 personnel, two backs, three tight ends, but you're going to have Wisconsin, two receivers, one tight end, one running back, one fullback. Now, the way that I'm looking at the base offensive sets for these schools, OurLads.com, OurLads.com, they do a phenomenal job of keeping up and sticking with the depth charts of different schools, professional and in college. Not always accurate as far as position-wise, but they're the closest thing you can find for a depth chart right now. And I did go back and fact-check. A lot of this is accurate for these schools and the schemes that they run. When it comes to Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, and Oklahoma, had to get a Big 12 school in there as well. All of them have three wide receivers for their base offensive sets, one tight end, and one running back. Oklahoma, on the website, they said they had one H-back, but when I looked up, went further, it was Austin Stogner, a tight end slash fullback, 6'6", 255 pound. To me, that's a tight end size. It's a tight end to me. And then Oregon, we know all the shiftiness, all the gimmicks that they run with their offense. Not as much as they used to, but we still know how Oregon runs their offense. Three wide receivers, one tight end, one running back. So I have 13, 16, 17, looks like 18 schools here. Only two have an old school base offensive set that's ideal for 4-3. You watch football. Some of you, when I mentioned this on Twitter, said the Alabama game. You can go back later, even when Urban Meyer was here. Stubbornness to not move out of the 4-3, even during games, to bring more speed onto the field, almost has caused Ohio State to lose games to teams they should not have lost to. 4-3 base defense. It's good. It's good. It was good back then. There are areas of space for it now in today's game. But as it sits right now, the base 4-3 to me is long overdue. I understand. That's a lot of information in a short amount of time. Had to talk fairly quickly to get through all of that. But moving from the 4-3 to the 4-2-5 or 3-3-5, we'll talk more about that tomorrow. But when you look at just the quickly look, at base offensive sets and how there's three wide receivers mainly on the team, you want two corners? You want to have two wide safeties? You want to have an LB guard somebody slot? Please, excuse me. No. It's okay for Ohio State. Ohio State has a lot of talent, but it's not ideal for winning championships and being competitive year after year after year. Got to move very, very quickly. When we come back, have a little fun with today and talk about something that I saw on the Twitter that was from ESPN. And I was confused when I watched this video. But first, check this out. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and even the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets. And guys, it's even free to sign up. Head to betonline.ag on your computer or mobile device. When you sign up today, make sure you use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Once again, go to betonline.ag on your computer or mobile device. And when you sign up, make sure you use promo code LOCKEDON and receive your 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sports book experts. April 19th through the 26th, listen to the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021, featuring analysis from NFL experts Michael Irvin, Jason Lockenfora, and Michael Lombardi. Our local experts for every team making trades and picking the next stars of their team. Subscribe to the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021, presented by Locked On and Odyssey on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey is your audio home for all the sports, podcasts, music, and news that matter to you. That's AUDACY. And as we wrap up today's episode of Locked On Buckeyes, guys, tomorrow we're going to continue this trend. It's probably going to be a three-day thing as far as should Ohio State change their base defense from a 4-3 to a 4-2-5. Today, only 1 second. Tomorrow is probably going to be two to lay more of the groundwork as far as schematics from a 4-3 and what schematics from a 4-2-5 will look like once they're on the field. So I was on the Twitter. Big Ten Ben Stevens was tweeting out something, a video that he saw on the Twitter. Don't know if he saw it live on ESPN, but it was Chris Mortensen. You could tell. I'm not trying to joke about this at all. You could tell that his health is not what it used to be. It is failing. And that was evident, not by what he said. That did not cause him. It may have caused him to say what he said. But it was very, very clear and evident that his health is not the best. I hope and pray that things are on the up and up or starting to slowly get better for him, because that was not, as someone that watched him when I was a youngster, it was not fun watching that video and looking and focusing on his health. But we have heard people this draft cycle say some off-the-wall things. Just be honest with you. Had to take the glasses off because, woo-wee, I am confused. And sometimes when I get confused, got to, you know, take some glasses off, got to move around to try to figure out what is going on. We have heard Todd McShay say things about Justin Fields. He fell because of two games in a season. Okay, whatever. Your analysis, I know you're getting things from other people when you're going on TV, but two games, it's not the entirety of those games, but you're saying two games is why Fields has dropped from wherever he was previously to where he is now. Confusing, not the best, but who am I? I'm just a guy here on this podcast trying to properly analyze football players. So you got Todd McShay. You got Dan Orlovsky. Many of you are mad at him. Remember, he's young in the media. People make mistakes. He relayed a message that was given to him on national TV and then tried to walk it back via a video. Kirk Herbstreit spoke up. Had a little back. Herbstreit spoke up, but I don't know if there was a back and forth, but Herbstreit did kind of, as a veteran in the media, Herbstreit knows how to handle these things at a high level pretty well. Orlovsky, when you're young, when you're new, people will try to use you like a puppet or take advantage of you. And that's possibly what happened right now. People knew if I say this to Orlovsky, then he has a good chance he might relay that message on national TV. And it may aid me to use Orlovsky in this way. I don't know. Maybe Orlovsky was not being used. I have no idea. I'm not saying that, but it could have been that way. And then Chris Mortensen was on TV, and he made a comment about Justin Fields, talking about him playing baseball in high school and him possibly playing baseball at Ohio State in football. That may have messed up his mechanics. Can we just time out, please? Time out. Y'all watching me right now on the TV, on the computer, on your phone maybe. Yeah, I'm doing a long timeout signal. Because when, even if Justin Fields was planning on playing baseball, okay, cool. Highly a good baseball player. When is playing baseball ever hindered somebody? Now, granted, it does hinder your throwing motion because it's a different throwing motion, but baseball and football, a lot of the best throwers of the football play baseball. A lot of the best quarterbacks, good quarterbacks, play baseball. I got a couple for you. Russell Wilson, transfer from NC State to Wisconsin, baseball player, could have played baseball in the major leagues. Actually, he was drafted. Another one, Kyler Murray. Oh, yeah, he could have played. He was actually, I remember watching the Dan Patrick show, and Dan Patrick, as Dan Patrick will, he kind of pushed him a little bit because Kyler Murray came in with his guard up, didn't want to, you know, give out all the information. And Dan Patrick, as he does so smoothly, so well, he tried to push to get Kyler Murray to give a concrete answer on the TV, and Kyler Murray was not feeling it at that time at all. Oh, a gentleman that I interviewed on my podcast, the Jay Stevens podcast, former Heisman Trophy winner, Charlie Ward. He was so good at baseball, didn't play baseball in college, that in Major League Baseball, he actually got drafted by a couple teams in Major League Baseball. Why am I going back that far? Because a lot of your top quarterbacks play baseball, and it helps them on the football field. So maybe, just maybe, just maybe, my encouragement to everybody out there, don't put much stock and don't fall into the trap all the time of clicking. Either reading an article, I'll watch a video on Twitter. I don't mind that at all. I'll give you that clicker. You could get my view. But don't let that stuff affect you too much. Trust me, trust me, trust me. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it at all. Some of you might say, Jay, how in the world do you not let this stuff affect you in your day-to-day and you going back and forth on Twitter or saying anything about people and attacking them? I understand what it's like to be in the media because I'm in the media. And I understand that there are things that I have said here on my other podcast, other podcasts that I have hosted or been on. I understand there's a good chance things may slip up and come out that shouldn't. Now, you do try to slow yourself down, watch your words, be quick on your toes, all of those things. But we are human and we make mistakes at the same time. If that's how somebody else views said player this way, Justin Fields, okay, that's them. That does not affect how I view Justin Fields. That does not view how I have analyzed the play of Justin Fields or anybody else that they are discussing at that time if I don't see eye to eye with them. You're going to hear a lot. The draft is on the 29th. You're going to hear a lot between now and then. My encouragement to you, take a deep breath. It'll be okay. Because a lot of what this stuff is, it's window dressing. A lot of what this stuff is to fill up space on TV. A lot of what this stuff is inaccurate. One last comment before we wrap up today's show, a mock draft. A lot of you fall into mock drafts. And when I was younger, I did the same exact thing. What is a mock draft? It's a prediction. That is normally wrong. I like mock drafts to a degree. But putting a whole lot of stock into a mock draft where they say Fields may go, he may go 5, he may go 10, wherever he's going to go, here's the reality. Justin Fields is going to be a professional quarterback in the National Football League. How many guys can say that are going to be in this upcoming draft? Not many. It is a luxury. Keep that in mind as we move forward. Yes, people are going to say off-the-wall things about Fields. They're going to say off-the-wall things about Buckeyes in the future. But a lot of these guys have a chance to be a professional athlete. It's a privilege. It's a luxury that not many people have the opportunity to have. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of Locked On Buckeyes. This was fun. A lot of fun. A little bit longer, a couple minutes longer than normal. But I love every second of it. You can follow me on Twitter at jstevens07. Feel free to come back tomorrow. And on Friday, tomorrow, we will recap Ohio State Pro Day 2.0, and then also continue this discussion. Should Ohio State change their base defense from a 4-3 to a 4-2-5? The base offensive sets for a lot of schools says yes, but I think it's a whole lot deeper than what we discussed today.